Barb, it's good to see you here and good to hear your report and see what God's going to do with you next out east. Yes. Something else I wanted to say about something else, and I forgot already. Oh, I know what it was. So we'll do the baptismal certificate, Derek, on Sunday. So Phil will take care of that. You'll get that baptism certificate on Sunday, right? Is that the one? No, you'll get that on Sunday. I'm sorry. And then we'll get you to go ahead and turn the lights on. We want to do that on Sunday. Sound good? So it was really good last Sunday. It was really good Sunday, wasn't it? To see a baptism and a graduate. Yeah, good. Huh? Oh, okay. Whatever that is. Oh. Okay. Well, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians tonight. I want to go a little deeper than. We're going to talk a little bit about spiritual gifts tonight, but I'm not going to go into like what they all are, the whole list of them. I want to get a little bit deeper, and usually when you start talking about spiritual gifts, and we just rip through them, we talk about what they are, and then we go on and say, oh, I don't know what mine is. Well, maybe you can take an assessment, and you might find out what yours is. Ask some questions, and you do a little survey, and it kind of gives you an idea what you might have. But tonight I want to talk to you about the importance of it and the other aspects of it. I want to share with you tonight that God has done so much for us. All that we do, that's not what I'm talking about. Those are additives. But as us, I want to say that, you know, nothing trumps salvation. It all starts with someone admitting and confessing and believing that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus is real. I believe in his gospel. I believe that he is the gospel. And I want to make him my Lord and Savior. And I want to get my life right. And we start there working ourselves wherever we are. No matter where you are, when a person comes to Christ, you got to talk about your junk a little bit and your sin. And what I love about it is the Lord, you hear me say this a lot, that the Lord loves you so much, but he loves you so much not to leave. He's not going to leave you where he found you at, because he's got a plan for you. Because what happens after salvation is that he wants you to follow with him into his footsteps and go through baptism. He wants you to follow into baptism, where you are baptized and buried in the likeness of his death. That's, you know, everyone will die, but hey, that doesn't hold us because it didn't hold Jesus, and we have a relationship with Jesus. And so we are put under water, we're buried in the likeness of his death, but we jump right up in the likeness of his resurrection. The old self goes down and the new self comes up. And we're very happy and excited about that. And then we move on and says, you know what? Man, now I'm getting a little bit in my walk. And now the Lord is like, ooh, now I'm going to participate in something. And maybe I did as a kid and I didn't understand it, or even as an adult. But now I'm going to participate in something that gives me a right to. I'm going to take part of communion. I'm going to take a piece of that bread that represents the body of Christ, and I'm going to take part of that drink that represents the blood of Christ, and I'm going to take that communion as I believe in Christ, and the scripture says to examine yourself. And now we start to see where it's like, now we're called to examine ourselves and to draw closer to the Lord, and where Christ found us, we're supposed to start growing in our walk with him. Right? And so we go through this thing called communion, and we do that. And some churches do it every Sunday. Some churches do it every quarterly. Some churches do it every other month. Regardless of what it is, we are called to do that. And we have one should be coming up. But there's something special about communion when you take it right. But even when you take it and you know you might not should have taken it, you can feel that too. Because God puts his Holy Spirit inside of the believer. And so now the Lord puts his Spirit in there, and then we start to feel convicted. not just our conscience bothers us because we did something wrong, but His Holy Spirit convicts us and tells us and moves with us, knowing that what we did is wrong at a deeper level than what our conscience will do. Because you can work on your conscience and tell your conscience, and you can do something so much you say, that's not a problem. That's okay. They did it to me. Your conscience is different, but the Holy Spirit is the same. Okay? So the Holy Spirit convicts us, right? So as we walk through there, we realize we become part of this family of God. And as we become part of the family of God, we worship, we combine ourselves together, we worship, whether it's here or somewhere else, we start doing things. But what the Scripture tells us, the Bible tells us, that He's giving us spiritual gifts. And normally in the service, when you start talking about that, you rip off a few verses and you go, okay, now we're going to talk about wisdom. But I want to share some things about these, just a couple of scriptures here before we get to that. In verse 4, it says, now there are different gifts. Chapter 4, thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. And I am in the Holman version. Thank you, Jeremy. I missed my own note. I put a note up here. What? Tell them what version you're preaching from. So if you use your phone, you can find it. Holman version is good. See, I got this new Bible, this big old Bible, this big monster Bible. Somebody got me that for the other day, and that thing is huge. I don't need my reader glasses up here now. This thing is huge. I've never seen one so big. This thing is like, yes. So anyway, and I've already wrote in it. I know some guys don't write in their Bibles, but as soon as I get a Bible, I start writing because I forget. So it says, now in verse 4, it says, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5 says there are different ministries, but the same Lord. And 6 says, and there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. And we would normally move on from there, but I want to work on a couple of things. One, if you have a different version, it may say there are different, not different, it'll say different gifts, it may say something different. But what will not change is what's in the rest of the verse. It says, but the same Spirit. You look up to King James, it'll say, but the same Spirit. In verse 5, it says there are different ministries. But your version may say something different, but it will say, but the same Lord. That'd be Jesus. And then it says, it may say something in verse 6 and a little different. Then it might not say different activities, but it might say something different. I was going to bring my King James up here, but I don't have room for two big Bibles. But it will say, but the same God produces each gift in each person. The second part of those verses are all the same. Because there is no other name to use. Now we may go through and try to figure out different gifts and use different things of that sort. But when it comes down to it, we're talking about this whole thing is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, working in all these spiritual gifts. But it says there are different gifts. Number one, there are different gifts, different spiritual gifts. Now I want to remind you, and you know this, there are some great singers in the world. There are some great musical singers in the world, great instrumental people. The world is very gifted. The world is very talented. Very gifted and very talented. God has given His people spiritual gifts. And it may be in the same line, but it's different. The purpose for it is different. The purpose for the spiritual gifts that God gives to people is different than what the world has and the purpose of what they're using them for. And there's nothing wrong with people singing music and doing those things, using their gifts. And this is how we have cars. This is how we have different things in the world. It's okay. But this is completely different than what the world cannot manufacture a spiritual gift. It cannot manufacture a spiritual gift. A gift is given by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and by God the Father, and together as one, they give a gift. If they choose to give you a gift, then you are accountable for that gift. Now, I just was ready to dive into another spot, but we're not going right there. But it says there are different gifts. We're going to go through some of this, but and there are different ministries. Now, if you look at our ministries here, it's different types of ministries. It only flows because it is a God-called, given ministry. It's the only reason it survives, only reason that it does. But let me just tell you, it doesn't really survive. It actually thrives. And it doesn't have to look like the world and have this much money in the account, because in the world, if you don't have so much money and you don't have so much equity and you don't have so much in the account, then you are running in the red. Let me remind you, God never runs in the red. You have what you need to make it. He just may have not given it to you yet, because he's working out some other things. So there are different ministries, but the same Lord. If it's spiritual gifts, spiritual ministry, it is of the same Lord. It is of the same Lord. It's so the spiritual. It's amazing to me because it says, but of the same Spirit, the spiritual gifts. And when you look at ministries, it seems like who came down on this earth and did ministries like no other? Jesus. Got his name right after ministries. And then it says, and there are different activities. Who knows more about activities than anything? Well, God, he created all activities. This is a very organized piece. We look at the spiritual gifts and callings, and we just think they are very, very organized. You that are doing whatever you're doing in ministry, don't you think that it was not a planned thing? Now, sometimes we are put into positions where we need to fill a gap for a moment. But as a pastor, I can sometimes just tell, and you guys that have been pastors as well know this. You can see somebody that's in a position, you know they're not called to it, they're not truly gifted, but their heart is in service, and they're going to go in, they're going to do the best they can. They're plugging a hole. They're the Aflac duck, right? There's a hole. Boom. They slam their beak right down in there, and they're holding that hole until somebody else comes along. So there are different gifts, different ministries, and different activities. But the same God produces each gift in each person. But the same God produces each gift in each person. You don't get a spiritual gift unless it comes from God. So if it comes from God, knowing what we just talked about, I have salvation, I have baptism, I participate in communion, I worship God, I pray to God, I know I'm a part of his family, I have a spiritual gift. Now, sometimes people just say, I got to find my spiritual gift right now. Sometimes you got to wait. Because if you just became a believer, God's not going to throw a big spiritual gift in front of you. There is things that he wants to process you through and refine in your life and work on you. So that when you're ready, he's going to give you a spiritual gift. And I'm going to tell you, when you get a spiritual gift, most of the time it's bigger than you are. So there's different spiritual gifts, different ministries, and different activities. What I also know in these scriptures is God doesn't want us idle. He doesn't want us not doing anything. So what we see here is that verse 7 is a really important piece. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. We look at that and go, oh, yeah, I got a spiritual gift, and it's for the common good. Yeah, but there's a word in there. It's called manifestation. A manifestation. That is something that is spiritual that becomes real. It's something spiritual. This is why it's a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual that comes from God. And he makes it real in your life. I never thought I could be a good administrator. I'm not. I'm just using that one as a piece. But some people are really good at administration. Not me. Go up and look at my desk. I'm horrible at administration. But some people can have a messy desk and still be good at administration. But I can't find anything on my desk right now. I am very bad with administration. I do my best. I do it because I need to do certain things, but there are other people that God has gifted in administration. But there's a manifestation, because the world can't do it the way God wants it done. There's great accountants in the world. There's great singers in the world. There's great teachers in the world. But when it comes to godly things, you can't match it up. God's got to put spiritual gift in you so that you have the desire to do it spiritually, for the right reasons, for the right purpose, for the right one, not for selfish gain, not for those things, but you do it for Him. So when we get a spiritual gift, we become responsible. God sees that we're responsible with a spiritual gift. Now, if we know that there are different spirits, different gifts, different ministries, and different activities, the Scripture also says that where much is given, much is acquired. Where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. When you use your spiritual gift that God's used you, He begins to expect more. I just can't give anymore. I can't give anymore. We're not talking about money unless you have the spiritual gift of giving. But we're talking about, I can't do anymore. I can't do anymore. Of course you can't. But with the power of God, right? Experiencing the Scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And God giving you the spiritual gift to do it, you really have no excuse. I have no excuse. Don't ever tell God, I just want to do one thing, God. Let me tell you one thing about the Lord. He's just amazing. He never really picks what you think you need. He never really picks what you, in the beginning, He never really picks what you think He's going to pick. Different ministries, different gifts, different activities. And every one of them involve people in the church. Those involve believers. So this is what I'm going to call. I'm going to say some things. We've got a small group, so I can say it tonight. So I'm going to say, like, Angie, God didn't just save you to do what you want to do next. You're part of the family of God. God's going to put His hand on you. Right now, He's already doing things in your life, but there's going to come a moment. He says, it's time. It's not payback. You're not paying God back, but it's time to start serving in a way of a capacity that is out of your comfort zone most of the time. It's out of your comfort zone. And you're going to say, I can't do it. I say, of course you can't do it. But as you feel like God is calling you to say, yeah, I feel like I need to do this, but I don't. I'm afraid. I don't know. I mean, when we first talked to Carla about doing the Women's Life House, I mean, Carla's jaw never drops. I'm telling you. It just never goes, what? She's never dumbfounded. But that day, she was. I remember the look on her face. What do you think about doing the Women's Life House? First thing, I'm not this, I'm not that. Always finding the things that you don't have. Always finding yourself inadequate. God can work through all that. But at the moment, we don't feel that. We feel, oh, I'm inadequate. That's such a, I can't do that. I can't do that. And sometimes that's why God's picking you. Because you have to lean on Him. And you don't have enough to do it. You really don't. You know, you're right. A lot of times you don't. You can't do it. But this is when God says, I'm putting the spiritual gifts in you that you're going to need to do what I'm calling you to do. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome that God has all of this and He gives it to who He wants to? So I expect that, Angie, you're going to keep doing what you're doing, but I expect God's going to use you somewhere down the road, whenever it may be, and He's already, maybe He already put a spiritual gift in you, but sometimes God will add more down the road and say, this is why I'm giving you this. This is what I want you to do. Here, somewhere else, whatever it is. And God's not done with you when you go through things and you accomplish a few, things in your life. God's not done with you. This is why this chapter is more than just, I got the gift of wisdom. Be careful if you say you got the gift of wisdom. You better make sure you have that one, right? So a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good, for the uplifting of God's kingdom, uplifting of His people. So a manifestation of the Spirit is something that God gives to us through this, that is spiritual, that becomes real, And we don't see it, but we see the outward of it. We see the outcome of it because it comes through your hands or through your voice. It comes through your serving God, and it comes out of your fingers. It comes out of your time serving with God. Now, I said this was going to be a little deeper than normal, but I think we need to understand and know that when God saves us and we begin to grow up in our walk with Him, He's got more than just what you think that He has for you. There's so much more. That's what it says, that Christ came, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life more abundantly. Yes, it's about salvation, but it's even more than that. And it's not what the prosperity preachers are saying. Oh, it's about funds. It's about, listen, God owns every dollar anyway. Don't worry about it. But it's these spiritual gifts. Now, we can get a little crazy in spiritual gifts. Oh, I want this one, I want that one, or this and that. And sometimes when you want, you don't get. But he goes on, after this manifestation piece, and remember, there's different gifts, there's different ministries and different activities. What we've seen was the Holy Spirit, we saw Jesus, the Lord, when we saw God all in there. And they're all, this is very, they're given something from their, it's almost like, I mean, God has it. He has the gifts. And He's entrusting you with something so awesome? Me with something so powerful and awesome? Yeah. Because He's got a great kingdom that He is building. And it's much bigger than we could ever imagine. Someone had asked me, do you think that spiritual gifts can change? Of course they can. Of course they can. A spiritual gift can change. Sometimes you're teaching. God gives you a spiritual gift of teaching, and other times He moves it over, and then He calls you to do something else. Sometimes they are. A lot of people say they stay the same. I just know this. Sometimes when you start to serve God, you just get better at what you were doing. You're like, what? I did this for a while, and now all of a sudden I'm really... It's not boastful, but you just like, why is this coming so much easier for me? Yeah, it could be that you've been doing it for 5 years or 10 years, but there's a part of it. It's not just that it becomes easy, that people are being drawn to you. Because spiritually, it's being used. And this is what I know. God's spiritual people are drawn to God's spiritual people. Now, newborn believers are drawn to God's spiritual people, but sometimes they sway over because they hear something in the flesh, or they hear something, and the emotions start moving, and they start moving in that direction because there's just sometimes the emotions kind of take over. We're looking more for an outward experience than an inward experience. But he does say, he says 2:1, he gives some of these, and there's some other scriptures that pick up some of these. These are some heavy ones here. To one is given a message of wisdom. Now, if you go through the book of Acts, you're going to see some of these played out. You're going to see some of these in 1 Corinthians 2, 2 Corinthians, you'll see some. But the book of Acts, you see it a lot. But you also see it through, like the book, when we're talking about wisdom, you know, to one is given a message of wisdom. I mean, Solomon, I mean, just going through reading Proverbs and seeing the whole story of his life. I mean, kingdoms were sending people to find, what does this man know? He knows about insects and birds and nature and all kinds of things. So God gave him such wisdom that was beyond every human being. So what had happened there? A spiritual gift given wisdom beyond anyone. And man, people just flocked to it. But wisdom is needed in the church, amen? We need to have wisdom in the church. Wisdom is different than knowledge. Wisdom is knowing when and how to do certain things, and knowing and trying to work through it. And wisdom is just that piece of just working through it and knowing when to go, when to stop, when to build, when to do these things of wisdom. And then it says, through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. This is one of these chapters where you see Spirit so many times, because this is dealing with only spiritual things. But the Spirit of knowledge is knowledge of knowing about things. Some people just, it's just really good. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, we've all been given a measure of faith. Scripture says that. We've all been given a measure of faith. But some people have been given that, spiritual gift of faith. And you'll know if you got it. You can take surveys. I've taken surveys. And you've been a Christian for a while. You can manipulate any of those surveys. Oh, yep, I got this one. And you can manipulate those any you can. Because you start to know biblical language. You start to know certain things. And you're like, I know that's this and that. So the more you take, the less effective I think it truly is. It's really hard to do those. But in the beginning, they're a little better because you may not know where it's always leading. But to want to give it the message of wisdom and knowledge by the same Spirit also. But faith. This church has to have faith to get where it's at. It's had to have faith. It's a spiritual gift. Can someone have more than one gift? Of course. You may be walking around with a package full of them. Isn't that amazing that you, one part of your life, you're living, as the Bible says, the King James would say, a heathen. You're living a sinful life. The next thing you have a relationship with Christ, and now he's filling you with spiritual things, and you're doing things you never thought you would ever be doing. I think if we understand and know how much the Holy Spirit is working in our life as a believer, we might even work through our praise and worship as well when we understand and know that. But then it talks about the gifts of healing, the miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between the spirits. That's the spiritual gift of discernment. You have speaking tongues, interpretation of tongues. People struggle with some of those that we just mentioned. And one of the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. Did you get that? It says, and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person, each believer, as he wills. This is God giving you something. The Holy Spirit and Jesus giving you something that he gives to you. Isn't that awesome? We get the salvation piece. Like I said, nothing trumps salvation. But that's just the beginning. Once you get on this life and on this ride with Christ, your life begins to just grow. And it doesn't mean you won't have hard times. But that's where your spiritual gifts kick in. Spiritual gift of faith. We even seen the spiritual gift. It says distinguishing between spirits, which we've called spiritual gift of discernment. Knowing evil, the difference between evil and good. I'm going to point on this one just for a minute. I've been in churches where individuals say, man, that guy is awesome. That woman is awesome. Singing beautifully in front of the church, doing those things. Yes, and being almost captivated. And they were living these sinful, dark, evil lives. But because they are very charismatic, they're very gifted in their singing, they're very gifted in how they speak and how they make eye contact and how they come down and do all those things. People can get very, very captivated on those. Does that mean everyone's like that that does that? No. Sometimes you just have a great worship service and people have got their hands up and people are clapping and somebody might be down there, a singer or whatever doing. That's great. But it's the spiritual gift, those who have the spiritual gift of discernment. So there's been times when I've went to people, you know who you are, I went to you and said, do you feel anything different tonight? Is there anything off tonight? And usually, and I don't ask them in a crowd, I ask them individually. And we've had this even here before. There's something off tonight. Or there was something off this morning. There's something that wasn't godly in the house tonight. Or in the service tonight. Where'd you think it came from? And there was, just whatever. And you know what? The ones I talked to would always be in agreement. If they weren't in agreement, they would say, you know, I'm not sure, but I feel like something might have been off. Not everyone catches it, but when they got the spiritual gift of discernment, and when you aren't living your life right for the Lord and you got some struggles, your spiritual gifts are not as sharp. Does that make sense? So sometimes you're asking someone, and I don't always know how people are living. I'm not going to judge that. You know, I don't know how people are living, but if they're not living right and they're coming to church every Sunday, it looks as though sometimes you can feel that in discernment too, but sometimes their spiritual gift, the discernment's not going to work like it was. Let me just tell you this. If your life isn't right with Christ, it's hard to get anything else right. It's hard to serve right. It's hard to teach. It's hard to preach. It's hard to do anything for Christ. You just can't get it because the whole thing is God's drawing you back to Him. Well, God wants you to get back to that, but the thing that needs to be fixed is you and Him. But there's been times even in churches where this is why God's given us the gift, because what does the devil do? He comes in, he masquerades as an angel of light. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing, coming in to devour. Where? In the flock. So God gave us, he thought it was important enough to have the spiritual gift of discernment and give it to some people so that the church would have the warning lights. I'm so glad God gave that to us. That we just don't live off by emotions. But I'm also glad that God also gives some the gift of faith. The gift of faith. And what the scripture does is it comes down to a point here. We're not going to get all into it, but it talks about, is any of these more important than others? And it talks about, instead in verse 24, it says, which our respectable parts do not need. Then it goes, instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, then all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God's appointed these things. And he goes on through like first apostles, second prophets, teachers, miracles, all these. He has a list. So they're all important. But there's a piece that says down here at the very end, verse 31, but desire the greater gifts. Can you desire and ask God for a spiritual gift? I believe you can. I believe that's what that scripture is telling us, that we can desire. I believe we can desire when you need it. Sometimes in a service, whether it's here or somewhere else, or something going on, sometimes with a spiritual gift of discernment, because there is a measure of faith, right? Spiritual gift of discernment. God gives it to those who He gives, but we all have somewhat some discernment. We all have some discernment, right? We all have some discernment, but the spiritual gift of discernment is heightened. It's spiritually. But there's times when I'm like, oh man, there's something off. I'm not getting it, Lord. I just ask you to just heighten the spiritual gift of discernment in me today. I'm feeling something is off. Something's not right. Is it me? Is it what? Is it what's going on? Or somebody approached me with this or that, with it outside the church or whatever, and I'm just, something's off. And just give me the spiritual gift of discernment to understand, is this godly or is this not? Is this evil? And you know what? I think God's faithful. God shows Himself. He puts a clarity in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. Other times you got to work through it, and you got to be like Nehemiah, and you got to be talking to, and you're praying at the same time. Spiritual gifts come with great responsibility. But spiritual gifts, I don't think churches grow without spiritual gifts. I don't think we grow without spiritual gifts. We can grow to a point, but God calls us to serve. And to serve, we need the spiritual gifts. Now we can get into a big long list of them. I'm not going there. Romans has some. 1 Corinthians have some. You can go in Ephesians. There's callings. We can get into all the differences of it. I'm not going to do that, but I'm just going to run real quick. There's leadership, administration, teaching, knowledge, wisdom, prophecy. Some agree that still some believe it's not today, but you just got to study that yourself. Discernment, exhortation, which is encouragement. Have you ever been around somebody just, man, they just encourage her? Kelly's an encourager. Kelly always wants to give somebody a hug. And if you don't want the hug, she says, come over here anyway. That's what she says. And you know what? How many of you honestly said, oh, Kelly's here, I get my hug. Now, you may not have said that, but you felt, oh, Kelly's going to give me a good moment. It's just for just a split second. She's going to give me a side hug, and she's going to tell me, God's with you. Everything's going to be okay. Man, that does not come because we are good people. That comes because God has given somebody the spiritual gift of discernment, encouragement. And I'm glad Kelly's here. Brian, great too, but Kelly has got that spiritual gift of encouragement. And I know some people are like, oh, I don't know, I like people touching me. And, you know, we got some, and it's fine. Some people want to give fist bumps, act like they're going to do it, when you know, whatever, it's fine. But Kelly has brought that down, way down, because she don't care. I'm getting my hug from you today. You know, that's a blessing that this church has, when somebody is open enough to do that. And it's not because Kelly had that. It's a spiritual gift that God has given to her. And I wanted to stay here because I think it's awesome. It's an awesome gift. Now, somebody else may not, you know, you may not have the spiritual gift of encouragement. You may not be, you might have it in a different way. You might not be the touchy guy, but you might be the one that sends cards and texts all the time. God does it differently sometimes because people need different things, but this is why God's given it to us. Evangelism. Man, Phil Fisher loves to share the gospel. Man. He likes to find opportunities to share the gospel. That, I believe Phil Fisher has a spiritual gift of evangelism. I truly do. He's always talking about praying with people. Because you know what? When you want to share the gospel, you usually begin with praying for somebody, don't you? And he does that. He's always talking about that. And he's pushing that in where he's working. I think that's great. Service and helps. Some people just service and helps. They just love to help. Some people have mercy. And those people drive me crazy. But I do love them because I need that balance, because they're like, hold on a minute. We need to love on them. Let's show them some mercy. And it's good. It's good. And then some people have the spiritual gift of giving. They just can't give. I don't have time tonight, but every one of these have a flip on it. Has a B side. The A side is the good side. It's the spiritual side. But Satan likes to work and tries to bump you in your spiritual gift and do something like when giving. I'll just speak on this one. If God's given you the spiritual gift of giving, you love to give, and you need to use some discernment with it. But what happens sometimes with those who give, actually, like the dark side of the spiritual gift is, they start putting strings attaching. I praise God and thank God that He never puts strings on the things He's given to us. He just calls us be faithful and obedient. And then the opposite of the spiritual gift of discernment is there's a demon behind every tree. There's a demon behind every tree. Or I got to, you know, everything's got to be in a high praiseworthy, you know, emotional piece, and you got to be careful of that. There's a right way to use the spiritual gifts, and then there's the dark side tries to get you to lose concentration on it and get caught up into it. So these tonight, I wanted to share with you a little bit about spiritual gifts. Now, there are different gifts, yes, because we're all different, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Jesus. And there are different activities, and it's the same God producing each gift in each person. Tonight, if you have salvation, you got a lot more than that. So can we start acting like it? Can we start getting excited a little bit about, wow, God does want to use me? You know what the awesome part about salvation is? Once we come to Christ, yes, we receive the salvation. But it's almost like this. Now God says, now I can use you for my glory. Now I get to play with you and work with you and work through you and bless you and lead you to a life that you never could have without me. You never would be where you're at, Jeremy, without Jesus Christ today. Ever, never. You would never be able to do it. You're doing a different type of ministry. Ministry wasn't even on your radar. But when you get with God, He starts putting things on your radar that you never even thought of. Stephen, God's going to do something with you. He's going to do something with you, brother. He's going to do something with you. You don't even know. He's going to do something with you. And right now, what are you doing right now? You're doing exactly. He's like, Stephen, obedient. Stephen's being faithful. Stephen's being obedient. Graduated, but he didn't run off. He's still being obedient. He's still being faithful. And God sees that. And this is how they work. Spirit, Jesus, the Father. Let's give him this. Let him start being a part and start moving and being an impact in our kingdom.
Some of us are just, some people are just getting saved. You know, they're just part of that salvation. They're just babies growing up. And we were all there. But then we start growing up. I'm excited to see what God's going to do with some people. You and you and just others. God give it to you for a reason. Now I'm going to ask you to think about your walk with the Lord tonight. Think about your salvation. Think about your baptism. Think about a moment when you had communion when it really, really, like, man, just it just was right. It felt, I mean, just I felt like the Lord was sitting. I mean, this was so, it was spiritually good for me. Sometimes communion can be like that at times. And just your walk with Him. And then maybe think about spiritual gifts. Lord, what is it? What is it? What is it? You know what you just did? You had an intimate conversation with Jesus, and it wasn't about all your wants. Father, we're getting ready to do what we do in our services, this altar call. We lift it up to you tonight, that your name be blessed, and this time be blessed. Be with our people. Whatever you want them to do, may they be obedient. In Christ's name, amen.